If you're into designer furniture and you want the sofa that broke the internet, you don't have to go broke to get it. Because Designer Looks Furniture has all the same styles and trends and all the quality, but without the designer prices. Check them out. Designer Looks at Value City Furniture or designerlooks.com.
Hello and welcome to the 12 Gays of Christmas, where Santa Baby is not a parody, it is a documentary. I am Dame Brian Moylan, and I am here today with comedian, host, TV writer, professional nerd, Danny Fernandez. Danny, Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
Thank you for being here! Have you experienced any holiday joy yet?
Yeah, I was very basic and I went and got a peppermint mocha at a Starbucks and I took a sip yesterday and I was like, oh God, this is good. Like I felt very, pro-capitalism, I guess. I was very much ashamed of myself at how good. I was like, oh, this is why people get this.
Do you prefer that to a pumpkin spice latte?
Well, to be honest, because I did have one pumpkin spice during the, I was like, I should do the things that the people are doing.
Yes.
I should be amongst that the people are doing. And so the peppermint mocha is much more sweeter. So that I love sweets, but I don't like when they're too sweet, when it's like too rich or something, or too syrupy and too sugary. So I, today, this is how OCD I am. I have OCD, not just saying that. And because some people say that and then it was like, oh no, I actually have it.
Yeah.
When I was getting ready today, I was literally like, I wonder if I could ask them if they could only do half of it, because I did enjoy some of it. And I was, that is what it's like living in my brain, y'all. So.
And did you ask for half of a peppermint?
No, I didn't go back. I wasn't even planning on going back today. That's just like how I will think about something for like 3 weeks at minimum. So
by the time it's like February, you will have worked up the nerve to ask for your like half.
That's
mocha.
Exactly right.
I mean, I have never had a pumpkin spice latte in my life. I don't drink coffee to begin with, but I've never had pumpkin spice or a peppermint mocha. But I like to say that the reason things are basic is because they're good. Like,
yeah,
cupcakes
so
are
everyone
basic,
likes them.
But delicious. SoulCycle, mm-hmm. Basic but wonderful. So
there you go.
Yeah, don't feel bad about it. Are you, Danny Fernandez, a Christmas person?
Yeah. I mean, I guess I think my friends and everyone say I'm more of a Halloween person.
Got it.
And when I originally was talking to you all about movies, I was like, oh, I should do The Nightmare Before Christmas because that's like my world. But I was like, I've already done like multiple podcasts on that. So I was like, I should probably not. I feel like my followers are like, again?
Do you think that Nightmare Before Christmas is a Christmas movie or a Halloween movie? Because I got into this fight recently and I want you to settle this fight for me.
Okay, so listen, everyone breaks it out at Halloween, but it actually only has a very small portion of Halloween, which is literally that night that Jack comes out. Like, they do the whole song and dance, he comes up, and then they're like, all right, 365 days later. But then the rest of the movie is them preparing for Christmas. It's him going into Christmas Town, it's him, them stealing Santa Claus, it's them making presents, it's them then going out and experiencing Christmas, and him being Sandy Claus, so technically, it's a Christmas movie.
See, I would disagree. I think it's a Halloween movie because though they are preparing for Christmas, it's happening like in the context of Halloween. And I, for my money, the This Is Halloween song that starts the movie off.
I mean, it's great. This is Halloween. Everybody scream. Won't you please make way for a very special guy? The Bombman Jack is king of the pumpkin patch. Everyone fails in a pumpkin king.
What were Christmases like in the Fernandez household when you were growing up?
Well, my brothers always got better gifts than I did because it was like a very gendered, like I got Barbies and mm-hmm. like, you know what I mean? Like dolls yeah. and stuff, but they would get like Nintendo 64. So I was like, I don't right. feel the money. So, and that carried on as I got older. But I was like, I don't think the money is equivalent here. And our family would always say like, it's the family's game console, but really it went to my brother.
Right.
So I was like, sure, except for it lives in his room and he's on it all the time.
Right. And he got to open it and I got to open some fucking Barbie I don't want.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I did enjoy I also inherited my mom's Barbies, which were like Barbies back in the 60s were yeah. like, or 70s, but she like had inherited them too, were very fascinating. They actually were, some of them were anatomically correct.
Wow.
Yeah.
Barbie. Yeah. It's like a science lesson.
Yeah. Mainly with my Ken dolls. I was like, oh, interesting. My Ken doesn't, he just looks like he has one long stomach.
What I wouldn't have given for an anatomically correct Ken doll at a tender age, let me tell you. So which movie are you here to discuss with us today?
Okay, so we're going to talk about Muppets Christmas Carol, and I forgot that there's mold. I was like, let's do the Muppets Christmas one, and then there's like five Muppets Christmas
Yes, I knew this is what you meant. This is kind of the yeah. big one. Why did you select it, and do you remember the first time you saw it?
I absolutely don't, and I think it was probably in chunks. I'm pretty sure it was like on ABC, and I like saw it. I did not see it in theaters or anything. You know when you're like going... You're like playing with your Christmas toys and like something's yes. playing on in the background. That was my introduction.
I remember the first time I saw it, I did not see it in the theater, but every year my cousins and my brothers and I would sleep over at my grandmother's house and she rented it on VHS for us to watch. So we watched it with my grandmother at my grandmother's house. So some information about A Muppet's Christmas Carol for the people at home listening. The movie was released December 11th, 1992. And was directed by Brian Henson, Jim's son. And it was his directorial debut. It was written by Jerry Jewell, who was the head writer of the Muppet Show television program and wrote most of the Muppets features and things through the 1990s. Originally, the Muppets characters were going to play the ghosts with Robin or Scooter as the ghosts of Christmas past, Miss Piggy as the ghosts of Christmas present, and Gonzo or Animal as the ghost of Christmas yet to come. George Carlin was originally sought to play Scrooge, but Michael Caine hilarious. Obviously was chosen. I know, could you imagine George Carlin in A Muppet's Christmas Carol? It was supposed to initially be an ABC TV movie, but Disney had big hopes for it and released it in the theaters, but it was up against Aladdin and Home Alone 2, so it came in Ooh. Sixth place at the box office its opening weekend and was considered a disappointment at an only making $27 million on a $12 million budget. It is the sixth highest grossing of all Muppets films to date, and it currently has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 76%.
Yeah.
That's a big week at the box office. Home Alone 2, Aladdin, and...
Aladdin, that yeah. you're gonna get pummeled. Like, wow. Also random for Disney. I guess they wanted to get it in time for toys and stuff. Yeah. That doesn't even seem like enough buildup. What a random, you would think Aladdin would come out in the summer and then they could bank on everyone getting Christmas toys.
Well, and they're both Disney properties. You're gonna put this up against Aladdin and then like hope it does well. It should have just stayed a TV movie. You probably could have made more money. I don't know.
Yeah, for yeah. real. Yeah.
So Danny Fernandez, will you walk us through the plot of Muppet's Christmas Carol?
Yeah, well, it's pretty much the same as a regular Christmas Carol. Michael Caine, though, is playing Scrooge with Muppets. What was so funny is I was watching them and I was like, they're so, with my friend, and I was like, the Muppets really look like raggedy. Like they never updated them for like, yes. they just keep the same Muppets for decades and they don't even like, cause those felt pieces and whatnot, like they need to be updated. And they were like, I think it's supposed to look that way. Cause you know, they're like in yeah. this like popper whatever. And I was like, but still they look a little too raggedy for me.
Right.
Like, I was like, these are like the original Muppets. And like,
You could have give Miss Piggy a laser peel or something. Like,
yeah. I was like, some of these costumes need to be dry cleaned. That's all I feel. They felt a little musty. They felt, but like, to their credit, I guess they were like, this works. We have Gonzo and Rizzo, who Gonzo is playing Charles Dickens. I thought that was actually clever and cute. So they're narrating.
Hello! Welcome to the Muppet Christmas Carol. I am here to tell the story.
And I am here for the food.
My name is Charles Dickens.
And my name is Rizzo the Rat. Hey, wait a second. You're not Charles Dickens.
I am too.
No, a blue furry Charles Dickens who hangs out with a rat.
Absolutely.
You have Michael Caine playing Scrooge, and so he is... Are we allowed to cuss on here?
Yeah, go for it. We encourage it, as a matter of fact.
He's a piece of shit, and you have the adorable Kermit playing Bob Cratchit, and he wants to, you know, wants to have Christmas Day off. And then you have the traditional Michael Caine is visited by the ghost of Christmas past, present, and yet to come. And I gotta say, that Christmas past should be burned. I was like, I'm very fine if they just burn this thing.
Are you the spirit whose coming was foretold to me?
I am.
But you're just a child.
I can remember nearly 1900 years. I'm the ghost of Christmas past.
I mean, she looks like a repurposed Dark Crystal Muppet. Like,
True.
And she sort of looks like if someone hit Tilda Swinton in the face with a hammer. Like... She's like redheaded, but her face is kind of wonky and it's all like white and billowy. Yeah, no.
I'm so curious why I thought that they would have used the original Muppets, but they didn't, like as the three ghosts. I don't know what the decision was.
Yeah, I don't either. I like the Ghost of Christmas Present. Looks really cool and interesting, and he sort of ages as they go along with the day. And I enjoyed the Ghost of Christmas Yet to Come, but he looks like every Ghost of Christmas Future that we usually see, you know, just like a hood and a finger, and, you know, nothing that interesting.
No. It's also funny because I refer to, like, the Count and stuff as a Muppet, and that, like, actually makes Muppet people mad because he's not a Muppet.
But aren't they Muppets, though? Aren't the Sesame Street people all Muppets?
They should be considered Muppets because they were made by the Muppet creator. So to me, I can hear people, like, I don't know, gripping their steering wheel right now.
I thought a Muppet was more a type of... Like, the type of puppet was a Muppet.
Muppet, yeah.
So they're all Muppets, but there are some Muppets from the Muppet Show, which are like the Muppet Show characters. But Big Bird is also a Muppet because of the kind of puppet it is. Am I making sense?
I agree with you, but you and I, we're Muppet truthers. And I feel like the rest... The rest are trying to hide this truth. So just stay steadfast. Stay strong.
I wouldn't have minded if, like, Bert and Ernie popped up in A Muppet's Christmas Carol.
No.
Or
they cross over often in their movies. They do cross over.
So speaking of which, one of my biggest problems with this is a totally stupid problem. But in the movie, Kermit plays Bob Cratchit and Miss Piggy plays his wife, which, I mean, obviously. But then they have children. And there are two boy children who are frogs, and there are two girl children who are pigs. And I need the Muppets to know that this is not how genetics works.
No.
Like, if you have, like, one parent that's one thing and another parent that's another thing, you don't get, like, some of each. You get some of both. Like, they would be, like, frigs? I don't know. Pogs?
Frog,
I don't know
what you frog would... pig children.
Yeah, like... I don't know. They'd be those weird creatures from Wheel of Time. I don't know. Like, would they be White Walkers? Is that how White Walkers were born? It was like pig frog sex?
I feel like a lot of people have pointed this out. I think it'd be funny if they were all... I think it'd be funny if they were all one thing. Like, if, like, the other parent's DNA did not show up at all. Right. Like, it would be fascinating to me if they were all pigs.
Yeah, and Kermit's like, excuse me.
Yeah, did I? And then, like, there's just, I don't know, like, her pig tennis instructor, like, comes by and you're like,
oh. Yeah.
I see where this came from.
It's like three of them are just pigs and then one is Fozzie, like a little Fozzie.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm not trying to, like, tell anybody how they should feel about things because, you know, I've definitely been attracted to cartoon characters. But it's hard to think of the Muppets having sex because it's hard to think of Muppets being sexy.
I think, oh my gosh, I totally disagree. I have said this in my writer's room. I am adamant that Animal eats ass. I'm pretty sure he does. So, like...
I mean, if there just, is...
Anyone, it would be Animal. So I feel like... I feel like they're getting down in their little, when the lights go off. I was like, it's always the ones you don't expect, but you definitely expect it from him. Kermit, though, seems also like he's a freak. I bet he, like, pleasures that woman. He seems like he's all about, like, her pleasure and her, like, her needs and wants.
Well, so. And I also feel like Miss Piggy is also about her needs and wants and makes sure she is getting pleased. She is a pig, after all. A piggy bottom, as we like to say.
It's a very consensual relationship, though. He's getting what he wants, right? Because I think everyone thinks that she's demanding and whatever. I'm like, but he's clearly into that. So,
right.
You know.
Are there any Muppets that you have crushes on?
Oh, I like Rolf.
Okay.
He's cute. Fozzie. I just think that they're cute. I think Rolf would be a good, like, partner. I don't know why. I just get that vibe. That 60s girl, I'm not a big Muppet person, so people are going to be like, oh my gosh, she's getting it wrong. You know the girl that looks like she's from the 60s?
Janice.
Do you know who I'm talking about?
With the long blonde hair.
Janice.
Yes.
Yeah. I feel like we've probably dated at some point and I don't know, she like ghosted me, but she did it in such like a, like we're just two different spirits like passing through the night, like type of thing where I was like, okay, sure. Don't call me back.
Very you Janice know. Vibes. Very Janice yeah. vibes that. If I had to pick a Muppet, I would probably... I have had many boyfriends who have reminded me of Gonzo for one particular reason, but...
Wow.
I will say, if I had to pick one, I would probably go with Scooter. Like, I like a kind of nerdy, kind of nebbishy, curly-haired little...
Mm.
I
also want to say two freaks, Bunsen and Beaker.
Easily. Oh, my God. Well, I don't know if Beaker has a gender, which, you know... So I was going to say that they're clearly a homosexual couple, but that depends on their gender identification, which I don't really know about. So there's a lot of, obviously, this is the Muppets telling of the Christmas Carol. And like you said, it's very faithful. And the reason why they put in Gonzo as Charles Dickens is so they could use a lot of the language from the original book.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very faithful telling of it. But obviously with the Muppets touches, most of which is a lot of slapstick humor. Do you have any favorite crazy Muppet bits from the movie?
I do like the one where Rizzo is climbing over the fence. And then he's like, oh, I left my jelly beans. And he just like goes back under. And Gonzo is like, you could fit under there. You're an idiot. I'm just like...
Yes.
Yes.
I also love when he's like sitting on a lamp. It's like a street lamp, but gas powered.
Mm.
And Gonzo's lighting it and he lights Rizzo on fire and he goes, light the lamp, not the rat. Light the lamp, not the rat. And then he kicks him off the lamp and he falls into a bucket of water and comes out a rat-sicle.
Yes.
But my favorite part of the whole movie, and this is from when I was a kid, it's a very small moment, but it's when there's the Ghost of Christmas Present section and there's a whole song and they're doing a song and there's a little chorus, like a bell chorus on the street. And one of the bell kids like whips his hand back with his bell and hits another kid in the face and his face collapses in on itself. Oh, my God. I wore that part of the VHS out, like just rewinding
that was
it
so
over
funny.
And over again. Oh, I love it.
I was like, if Twitter existed back then, this would definitely be a meme.
100%.
Love that part.
I don't know why we don't have more Muppets Christmas Carol memes. I was impressed with this movie And the more I watch older movies, the more impressed I am by just watching them and thinking, how did they do that? Like, it looks so effortless, but must have taken so much work. And now you see something that's crazy and you're like, how did they do that? And the answer is always computers.
Yeah.
But this is not that. So it, just the amount of work all this must have taken to build all these sets and build all these Muppets. And I was doing a little bit of reading on it, and they said that they sort of had the sets and they would take the floors out and then rebuild the floor so Michael Caine could stand on slats where the floor would be. And then the Muppet operators would be underneath them, and they built the houses in like different scales so that they would look different sizes when they had different things standing next to them. And all of that I find really impressive. And to make something like this on $12 million, which is like the budget for one scene of Shang-Chi, is, you know, I think very impressive to me, at least.
Yeah, I'm like, how much of that was Michael Caine's fee, too? So
he said that when he took the role, that he was going to play it like it was Shakespeare. Like, he was going to pretend like there weren't any puppets and that it was dreadfully serious. And you can totally see that in the movie. Like, he doesn't give a wink. He doesn't give a nod to the fact that he's in a kid's movie full of fucking weird felt creatures.
Spirit, show me no more. Why do you delight in torturing me?
I told you, these were the shadows of the things that have been. That they are what they are, do not blame me.
Leave me.
I loved that. I love that he committed to. I was like, I wonder why he took this, because he's so serious and the Muppets aren't. And there's like a chicken factory and he's like a very seasoned veteran actor. But I love that. Yeah. My friend just interviewed Kermit at D23. She was on stage with him, and it was fascinating because there was like a whole, they were sitting in director's chairs and there was like a whole, you know, for him. But what was wild to me is they showed, I don't know who's the voice of him now, but like they showed him just laying there operating it like in front of like 1,000 people. And I was like, oh, they didn't even try to hide him at all. Like, I thought it would be like a table and then he's like underneath the cloth, and like, not at all. Like, this man was just like laying out like on the stage and had Kermit. So I was like, oh, I guess any of the kids seeing this might find out that
that Kermit is surprising. Because you hear about at Disney World, they won't let them take the heads off. So you think that Mickey Mouse is a real person. Like, yeah, I'm surprised that they would let you see that Kermit is not a real frog.
Wow, you just said that. I didn't even finish the sentence. So
well, we're going to take a little break and think about this. And then we're going to come back and talk more about the Muppets Christmas Carol with Danny Fernandez.
If you're into designer furniture and you want the sofa that broke the internet, you don't have to go broke to get it. Because Designer Looks Furniture has all the same styles and trends and all the quality, but without the designer prices. Check them out. Designer Looks at Value City Furniture or designerlooks.com.
And welcome back to the 12 Gays of Christmas. I am Dame Brian Moylan. I am here with Danny Fernandez, and we are talking about the Muppets Christmas Carol. But I think that we should maybe take a little break and play a game. How do you feel about that?
I am nervous. I'm not good at games, but I'm willing to have an open heart.
This is the world's easiest game. And it's a game we like to call Witch Christmas. And I'm going to name two Christmas movies, and you tell me which one you'd rather watch.
Oh, this is so easy. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I'm going light on you. All right. Our first head-to-head Mortal Kombat Battle Royale is Scrooged or National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, I feel like I have to go with Scrooged, but I don't have a good thesis between these two.
I feel like you are correct, and I am basing it entirely on the fact that I think Chevy Chase is probably an asshole, and...
Yeah. Or just, like, a lot of frat bros are into National Lampoon, so Yeah. But if you all ever make another movie and you want to put me in it, then just put, you know,
call.
I just
call.
Said this. Yeah, please call.
So any version of How the Grinch Stole Christmas or Nightmare Before Christmas?
Oh my gosh, why would you do this? Because that includes the original cartoon. I still have to say Nightmare Before Christmas is so original that I wish I had come up with it. And every day that I realize I didn't, my heart grows smaller. And so I feel like I have to go with a Nightmare Before Christmas. It's just so iconic. And all of the time it took to do the stop motion and and Jack's Lament, which is actually my favorite song in that, about a pumpkin king who is tired of Halloween. Wow, you really did it, y'all.
But I want to say I lumped these two together for a reason, and I'm going to tell you that reason. It's because in both of these movies, the main character is commended for saving Christmas. But the only reason they're saving Christmas is because they fucking ruined Christmas themselves in the first place. Like, yeah. Jack and the Grinch wouldn't have to save Christmas if they weren't such assholes.
It's almost funny, too, because Nightmare Before Christmas is very much a movie about, like, hey, stay in your lane.
Yes.
Like, that's what you're learning is, like, hey, stop venturing out.
Right. Just be what you're supposed to be, guys, okay?
Yeah. Maybe it's more, like, accepting, not stealing. I think so. There was a whole thing about how it's about cultural appropriation. So maybe that's it. Like, not stealing. Like, you can appreciate someone's thing without stealing it. Is I think what they were trying to do.
I like that reading, and I will accept that for future watches of Nightmare Before Christmas. Our next head-to-head is Love Actually or It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, I gotta go with It's a Wonderful Life. Love Actually, I used to love so much, and now everybody, there's like so many pieces on how problematic it is. But still, I love It's a Wonderful Life. I actually have an amazing Jimmy Stewart impression, if you want to hear it.
Duh.
Hang on.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Clarence. Clarence. I want to live. Clarence. Zuzu's petals. There you go. Spot it. It was like he was in the room.
Amazing.
Thank you.
Would you rather watch Elf or Four Christmases?
Elf. I love Elf. Elf is also such a good movie.
Elf is a great movie. And one of the best things about Elf, a brisk 90 minutes. Brisk 90 minutes. Gremlins or Die Hard?
Gremlins. I gotta go with Gremlins. What would you choose?
Oh, that's a hard one. I mean, I would probably choose Die Hard, but I do enjoy Gremlins a lot. I just feel like, I don't know. I mean, I could go either way on this one. This is really a toss-up, but I'll pick Die Hard just because you picked Gremlins and then everyone can go home happy.
Okay, perfect.
This one is for Gay Twitter. These are Gay Twitter's two favorite Christmas movies, Carol or Family Stone?
Family Stone.
Good choice. I don't think Carol's I don't think Carol's decorated for a movie. Sorry, Gay Twitter.
I feel you don't have to. The whole point of Gay Twitter is to not agree with Gay Twitter.
True. And boy, have I not agreed with Gay Twitter more often than not. All right, this is our last one. Would you rather watch the infamous Star Wars Christmas special or the Charlie Brown Christmas special?
Aw, I love Charlie Brown. I feel like I would have to watch that. Also, great soundtrack. Like,
great
wow.
Soundtrack.
Really outdid yourself.
Yeah, that
really
is...
Really outdid yourself.
Possibly one of my favorite Christmas songs is the Christmas Time Is Here song at the beginning of Charlie Brown Christmas. I listen to it during the regular year just because sometimes you need something.
It's great.
It's a little melancholy. I have never seen the Star Wars Christmas special, which is notorious. I believe you can find it on YouTube. Bea Arthur is in it.
It's a lot.
It's bonkers. So Muppet's Christmas Carol, like Nightmare Before Christmas, has songs. Do you have a favorite song from the movie? Any song that you particularly enjoyed?
I like the one, I think they ended with it. It's something about like when you feel love, you feel Christmas or whatever. Is
yes.
that correct?
It feels like Christmas. Yes.
It feels like Christmas. It feels like Christmas. It feels like Christmas. It feels like Christmas.
I do have to say, not these songs were not as catchy as I intended.
No, they're not great. They're not great. The only
like, they need a little Lin-Manuel. They need like a little, like, I don't know, some type of, you're just going to have Kermit rapping or whatever. But no, like they need a little, like more rhyme scheme needs to be there. Just a touch more. There's a lot of things that not quite rhyming, not quite feeling as good.
I would want, I'm not a huge Lin-Manuel fan, but if he decided to redo Muppets Christmas Carol with some decent songs, I could fully endorse that plan.
What a blessing. That would be a blessing.
The one song I like is one I think of every Christmas, and it's when Marley and Marley, the Marley brothers, come back from the dead. It's Stettler and Waldorf, the kind of hecklers from the original Muppet Show, and they say, "We're Marley and Marley."
We're Marley and Marley. Whoa! We're Marley and Marley. Whoa!
That's the only thing that's semi-catchy.
So, considering there are all these ghosts and Tiny Tim may or may not be dying, etc., etc., do you think The Muppets Christmas Carol is a suitable movie for children?
I think that kids would be like creeped out by this, but every Christmas Carol, like all the other ones, are equally as scary. Like even Jim Carrey's one was scary. The Mickey one is scary. Like I think that's the whole point, is those ghosts are supposed to be terrifying to Scrooge, so he changes his ways. But I think it's good to be scared by things. Like there were so many things in our childhood that were creepy. One of them, Angelica's brother in the Rugrats, when she thought that she was having a brother and it was like a big baby. I know people at home know what I'm talking about.
I know on the exactly Rugrats, what you're talking
about. It was a baby that had like an adult voice that I think was a smoker, and it was super terrifying. You know, multiple McDonald's characters, I'm sure. You need to have scary things catch you off guard.
There's one point where Rizzo says, "This is scary stuff. Should we be worried about the kids in the audience?" And Gonzo goes, "Nah, this is culture." And I like, I at least like that they acknowledge it. And I do like at the end when Scrooge reforms and comes around and Gonzo says, "And Tiny Tim, who did not die." So, you know, there is a happy ending in that Tiny Tim doesn't die.
They're 100%. This is, I like that they were like, "Oh, that is the American way. I mean, the British way." So like, yeah, this is definitely made for American audiences. Also, nobody has an accent.
Except for Scrooge.
Except for Michael Caine.
Usually at the end of our time together, I ask if this you would consider this movie a Christmas movie, but I can't imagine we would consider this anything other than a Christmas movie. So I'm not going to ask that question this week. However, I am going to ask you, do you think this is a queer Christmas movie?
I think that there's queer coding in it, and it's so fascinating because they've always had, you know, like we were saying with the Muppets, there's no way that like Bert and Ernie weren't like, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like I feel that. And I feel like even straight people feel that. So to me, there's definitely characters that I feel like even possibly Scrooge, like I'm super fascinated too with like his sexuality, but I guess not openly queer. No. But I do still stand for Bunsen and Beaker being this adorable Christmas couple.
I completely agree with all of that. And I would say that you have Ebenezer Scrooge, this man who was, you know, forced to be alone his whole life and hasn't known love, and that's why he's such an asshole, you know, could be a metaphor for life in the closet, maybe.
Yeah. He was literally in, he was in the curtains, at least.
He was not in the curtains. Oh my God. So The craziest thing about this movie to me is A, the fact that Scrooge is wearing one of those long hats with the tassel on the end. Like, is it even Scrooge unless he's wearing that weird fucking bedroom hat?
The nightcap. The nightcap, yeah.
Yeah. And also, he has a bed. It's a four-poster bed with curtains all around it, but then he sleeps over the covers, but in like 17 layers with this hat on. Like, how was sleeping that much different in Victorian England than it is now?
I think he had his shoes multiple times on too, but I think that's because he knew the ghosts were coming. But that curtain, that's also
expecting company.
I feel like that hat, I was thinking this too. I was like, the four post bed with the curtains had to also be in the play or something, or maybe it was literally in the book, because all of the other Christmas carols also have it where he's like peeking out from the curtains. So I feel like it probably was in the original. But yeah, I was like, we need to bring that back. The little cap and get, like the little, like whatever, like we need to bring that back.
You should make Danny Fernandez branded Scrooge caps available in the merchandise section of your webpage.
Perfect. It'll just say animal eats ass, and you can just wear it at all Christmas functions. It's festive.
Danny Fernandez, thank you so much for being here with us today. Will you tell the people at home where they can find you on the internet to yell at you about the fact that animal eats ass?
Perfect. It's at Ms. Danny Fernandez. It's MSDANIFERNANDEZ on Twitter and Instagram. That's where I announce all my things and post thirst traps and also my thoughts on things happening in this godforsaken country. So I do both of those things. And I post about the sex lives of characters. So cartoon characters, as you do.
And I just want to give a thank you to everyone who has subscribed, rated, and reviewed 12 Gays of Christmas throughout our freshman season. Be sure to check out our other podcasts from The Dip, including Hot Off the Mess with Samantha Bush, Morgan's Pop Talks, Exposed, Dragged Out, and so many more. Visit thedip.com where you can get more pop culture commentary and analysis. That's The Dip with two P's. The second P is for pajamas, as in Scrooge's pajamas, and follow them on Instagram at thedip.com. Of course, you can find me at Brian J. Moylan, everywhere books are sold. And thank you for listening to 12 Gays of Christmas all season. And a final Merry fucking Christmas. God bless us, everyone.